This is crazy. This is crazy. I took my snow tires off my car 2 weeks ago. Listen, I am not a Southerner anymore. I'm a North Bay guy. I come from Montreal, and we lived in Toronto and everything. But I'm a Northern guy. Except, look, I went ice fishing. Linda and I went ice fishing this year. We went snowmobiling and we didn't go snowshoeing. So we do it, but that was not fun. Pardon me? Yeah, okay. Do you have a nice trailer? Okay, am I invited? I will never not, if you invite me, I will go. But I'm not going to initiate it myself. So like when we ended up at the Humphreys, it was like the outfit that we were going to wear. I don't even know what it's called. So it was ready for us, everything. All we had to do was get out of the car, get into it, and get on the machine. When we went ice fishing with Bill Dowdle, everything was kind of lined up. We got out of the car. We got on the snow machine. They put me in this sled. We went out there. A couple of hours later, the food, our meal showed up, and it was great. So I will do some work, but I'm not going to initiate it. So, okay, come on, folks. You're distracting me. I have to get to the word. Guys, I'm telling you.
She likes snow too, by the way.
What's that?
She likes snow as well.
Not in April, though.
You're not safe till June.
Yeah, no, exactly.
You know what? You guys, you know what I love about you? Mostly? You're real. You're real and you're honest and you love God. Amen. You're not afraid to express that you love God. But you're real, and I really like that. And Radar Elliot, look, that's where you keep coming back from, Elliot Lake. It's pretty real here. And I want to thank you for that. But, you know, real and friendly and kind and everything is all great. But you know what? We need to go deeper than that to bring revival. And so, you know, and that's what I want to talk about this morning, obedience that obeys, that honors God. That's what I want to talk about today. Obedience that honors God. So if you are coming here today figuring, I'm going to go here today, I'm hoping that there will be something that I like, then this message is not for you. Okay? Because what happens, the name of the message is obedience that honors God. So when we come into a place like this, when we worship, we always pray this prayer. We always pray, Lord, whatever we do today, we're going to do to an audience of one. For an audience of one, everything that we do. Because, you know, I'm very intense when it comes to the Lord. And I really want to see the Lord honored. And He needs our obedience to do that. Amen? So good morning, Gateway family. It has been a busy, 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 busy season, would you say? It seems like Linda and I have been going nonstop for months. Really, we're not complaining. But the last number of weeks were really, really busy. But a good way. A good busy. In a good way. How many of you know that there is a good busy and there is a bad busy? How many of you know that? There's a good busy and there's a bad busy. I won't tell you what the bad busy looks like because I think you already know what that looks like. But a good busy is having Father, Son, and Holy Spirit involved in your life, in what you're doing, in your decisions, in your daily journey, in the prayers you pray over your family. When you hold your daughter and you tell her that you're proud of her, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is involved in that hug. Amen? Even though sometimes You're a good girl. And it was an honor last Sunday to baptize both of you in water, mother and daughter. Isn't that sweet? Wasn't that good? And so, you know, so the last 3 weeks in this house have been very, very busy. We had all the C&E Christians that were here last Sunday. And what's a C&E Christian? You know, I got a few cards from some of them, and they want tithing envelopes, and they want to join the church, and they want, but they're not here this week. And I'm not criticizing, but man, oh man, you know, people need Jesus so desperately. Okay, we're never a house to find fault, but man, do people need Jesus? And if there was just even a little bit of a stronger commitment, a little bit stronger obedience, things would just change to, you know, so amazing. So the last 3 weeks have been a good busy in this house. So let me review a little bit. Linda had back-to-back messages. Prayer precedes revival. She preached prophetic words into this house. And I believe that she heard from God and she went for it. Amen? Would you say that? She heard from God and she just went for it. I love it. I love it. I love when people just go for it. And I believe that she heard from God and she gave it. And I believe that each of you heard from God and you received it. Now, how do I know that? Because the way you responded. Okay? The way you responded. You responded to the Spirit of God. Your response was incredible. It showed your heart. It showed your desire for more of the Lord. It showed your passion for a revival in the house here. In her first message, this altar was full as you responded to being asked to repent of things. Do you remember being asked to repent of things? How many of you took back some of the things you repented of? Okay, so repent again and give it to Him and get rid of the junk. Repeat that. Say, I'm going to get rid of the junk today. Not all of you said, I'm going to get rid of the junk today. Let me hear it again. I'm going to get rid of the junk today. So in her first message, she responded and she asked people to repent and have a deeper commitment to the Lord. And in her second message, she had you write out things. I haven't even looked at this yet, but she had you write out things. And it's right beside the cross here. And look, there's all sorts of green paper. And she told us that she said that it was the palm leaves for that day, and you came up here and you went and you dropped in things in there, and then you came and we had a fire tunnel here and we had our prayer ministry here, and there was ministry that was taking place. It was powerful. I don't know what time we left here that day. Wowzy. Amen. Wowzy. It's only the Spirit of God that gets people to do that, because you know what? When you have every single person in the pew, pretty much, that is at the altar going through a fire tunnel and being ministered to, it's the Spirit of God, because we are stubborn. And so if I say, okay, we're going to do this now, the natural tendency for some of you is to go, I see it, I'm looking at you. There's sometimes when I look. Is he like that all the time? Oh my goodness. Let Adrian, lay your hand on this man's shoulder. We make a joke a little bit of, and we have some fun, but you know what? It's pretty intense. It's pretty intentional, eh? So wowsy, once again, the response was incredible as you dropped off those green pieces of paper and you went through and you had ministry. And then last Sunday, we had a full day. We had like three services in one service, and we still got out of here at 10 after 12. Like, you know, thank you, Lord, because you know what? If it was up to us, we'd still be here at 5 o'clock. And the presence of God in the house is strong. We worshiped and we dedicated fowl unto the Lord. We listened to a short resurrection message followed by Holy Communion and then a water baptismal service where we baptized Nicole and Shaylee and Hannah. And you know, it was powerful. Amen? Yes. It was very good. These are exciting days at Gateway. These are exciting days at Gateway. The Lord is present in our midst. And last Sunday in my message, I said, the message entitled, The Greatness of the Resurrection. And I mentioned Mary Magdalene and why she was given the privilege to be one of the first witnesses to see the resurrected Christ. And I said, probably because of her dedication. He loves dedication. Okay, hear me, folks. You want to know what he wants from you? Over here in this section, he loves dedication. Did you hear me? He loves dedication. Look at Mary Magdalene. She was dedicated. The rewards of her dedication are right there in the scriptures for us to see. So, you know, we say, what does the Lord want of me? What is my plan? He wants our dedication. He wants it. He said, you know, the dedication, love, and devotion of these women was greatly rewarded. I want this church to be greatly rewarded, not because we're anything special, but because we have a dedication to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and it's a dedication that when he looks at us, he's going to be, wow, look at the dedication there. Power, blessings, healings, everything taking place in the house, beyond the house, into the community, lives changed, lives committed to the Lord, people who have had the same stuff over and over and over and over again in your life, gone. I don't want to hear the story anymore. I want to hear the story of victory and healing. I don't want to camp with people who have the same story for 25 years ago that are still not healed. No more be healed in the name of Jesus. Give it away. Get rid of the junk. Get rid of the crap. We don't need it anymore. It's just dragging down everyone in around you. Get healthy. Be dedicated. Look at Mary Magdalene. She had 7 demons within her. Boom, gone, out the door. The most faithful, dedicated one to the Lord. Amen? Whoa. I believe that the last 3 weeks have been a good busy in the house here. You know why? Because of your love and dedication. Amen? Because he loves dedication. He rewards love and dedication. He rewards it. He has given us a stronger glimpse lately with salvations and healings in the house. How many of you women, I know this is an old healing story because it happened 3 weeks ago, and I want to hear healing stories from 3 minutes ago. But how many of you ladies here would find it difficult, because you're northern girls now, to walk in high heels? Show me your hands. Seriously, all day. So all of a sudden, Bonnie, she's walking in with this walker for a couple of years. Give me that shoe. Could I have that shoe, please?
Yeah.
So she's walking in. Whew. No, just kidding. So she's walking in with a walker into the house. She's only a young woman, you know. She just walked. And then she comes in a few Sundays ago with this.
That's not wisdom.
Good for you. Good for you. Amen? So we are praying. We are seeking him. We're learning how to line up our wills with his will. We are understanding that it's not about us, and it's about him. How many of you know Francis Chan? Okay, so I'm going to tell you a story about Francis Chan right now. He didn't like preaching Easter time. There was a time when I couldn't stand preaching Father's Day and Mother's Day. Now I like it, but I just didn't like it. He couldn't stand preaching. He didn't like it. Actually, I was listening to him this week, and he says that he actually hated it. Because he felt people would be coming, and he felt that he had to do well enough that maybe they would come back the next week. And as pastors, we have always bowed, you know, many times we've bowed to this kind of pressure. And he got into the mindset that we must try and please all the different types of people who come into the house. Okay? That's him. Francis Chan's a big, he's a world preacher. Okay, and he felt he had to do something for them. Their lives may be falling apart, and this would be the only time that he would be able to do something. And then it hit him. It hit him. What is the goal of Easter service? What is the goal of us gathering each week? Was it to make sure that all of you people leave happy? It hit him. He received a revelation. The reason we are here is because there is another person here that was raised from the dead. And he realized that God was the main goal, and he is to be pleased during this time with us when we come together. And it changed him. It changed him. He says, the reason why we come together is because he is to be pleased to be among us. And Francis Chan was the pastor, and he admitted that even his goal, because we all have a tendency to be self-centered, wasn't his goal either. And it hit him hard. And he moved into a different place, a good busy place, instead of a bad busy place. Remember something, okay, folks, this morning. He loves dedication. Can you repeat that with me? He loves dedication. Okay, he loves it. So Francis Chan, he goes on to say and ask honestly, do we even think this way? Do we even think this way, that we come into a place like this and that God is to be pleased? And he's the pastor, and you know what he said? He says he didn't. He didn't think that way. We are so self-centered, and many, if honest, would admit that probably we come and wonder what we will get out of this. What will I like the most today when you go to lunch today? So what did you like the most out of the service today? How often is that the conversation? Well, you know what? I prefer the worship board. Sometimes the preacher's okay. Sometimes the preacher's too long. And, you know, but is God pleased? Was God pleased with the heart that I came with this morning? And he goes on to say that, what would it look like? What would it look like if I came understanding what Jesus did for us and wanting to please him the most in my worship, my dedication, my offerings, and the word obedience? What would that do? So allow me to quote him. He says, I want to please you, Lord, but I just don't think that way. We mostly put ourselves first. We start with us. What do I want? And then go to the Bible to make sure we aren't doing anything against Scripture. Putting ourselves first and asking God what he will tolerate. Wow. So ponder this question with me this morning. What will it look like in your life? What will it look like in your life this morning, okay? What will it look like in our corporate gatherings if we stay focused and dedicate it, have a heart of dedication, like what would please God? What would please you the most, God, today in my life? What would please you the most, God, when I walk into the church today? What would please you, God, today? And he didn't think this way even. That takes dedication, right? It takes obedience. What would please God the most this morning? We must do everything to an audience of one. Amen? Jesus must be high and lifted up, right? He must be high and lifted up. When we think of Bible characters, you know, that stand out, Moses and Deborah and Joseph and David and Paul, and I love Barnabas. Barnabas is cool. And Daniel, he's one of the favorites of all. And in Daniel 6 and 10, it says this. It says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. And three times a day he got on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. So what's happening here in this story anyways? I'm glad you asked. The decree had been signed in Darius. The ruler mandated that no one could pray for the next 30 days to anyone except for him. That would be like me saying to you, okay, for the next 30 days, Dave, you're not allowed to pray to Jesus, only you have to pray to me. That's what basically he was saying. But Daniel's allegiance was to God. And Daniel faced a real danger, yet he did not compromise. Okay? Say the word with me, compromise. We compromise too much. We compromise too much. We try to justify our wrongness to each other. We compromise. But Daniel, he did not compromise. His allegiance was to God, and he was in real danger. He trusted. He trusted his life to God's mercy, and he did not abandon his lifelong journey of regular prayer. Had Daniel forfeited his prayer life, he would have betrayed his faithful dedication to the Lord, and he would have lost the opportunity to prove faithful to the Lord. So whenever we step out in faith, folks, that people around you, they observe how you respond to things. Did you know that? They will develop much of their understanding of God through your testimony. Did you know that? That people around you, Randy, will develop much of their thinking about God, who God is, through the testimony of your life. Right? So when you hear something like that, doesn't it kind of send a shiver up your spine? It's like, oh my goodness, really? Oh my goodness, like what happens is, like, you know, if my testimony is like you're a young man. Like, I want you to be a bushfire out of control for Jesus. And my testimony is like really messed up, and you're hanging with me, guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna see God through my testimony. That goes for each of us right here this morning. Amen. So when you truly understand this, you will always follow Jesus' instruction, his pattern of life. Because what happens is prayer always precedes revival. Amen? That's what Linda preached. And when Jesus prayed, he was not merely looking for the Father to endorse his plans. How many of you have gone to prayer where you're asking the Lord to endorse your plans? Okay? Many of you have been probably taught that way. You go and you give your wish list to Jesus. Okay? Jesus, would you just endorse what I am doing? And then when things start to happen, you say, oh, the Lord must be opening the door. So we must be like Jesus. He was seeking the Father's will. And that's what we have been trying to do. We're not perfect, folks, but we've been trying to seek his will. And there's just too much at stake for us to miss his will. Okay? I know it's intense. I know I'm intense this morning, but there is too much at stake to miss his will. There is too much at stake. We have elections that are coming up in this country. We have ideologies in this country that are counter to what God that are counter to God. We need to get on our face before God. You know, it's funny. I put a clip on yesterday. I put on the Leafs won the hockey game last night. Put a clip on, they won the hockey game, most points in a season. The goaltender had the most wins of any other goaltender. Everyone, like, comments. I put a clip on yesterday of a call by Rob Parker at the National House of Prayer for the people of God to pray, a calling for our nation to pray. Three people liked it. No comments. Prayer precedes revival. And he was not simply looking for obedience. There's a dynamic, folks, between the good Christian life and the Spirit-filled transformation. There is a big difference, okay? Please hear me, okay? I'm trying to be as kind and gentle as anything, but you know what? I'm very passionate. I have more years behind me than I have ahead of me, and I want to see the church that I pastor see a revival. I want to see you so excited about Jesus that there's going to be, you're going to be interrupting me at this pulpit here because of the testimony of what Jesus is doing in your life and in your nation, in your jobs, in your family. I want to finish well this journey, my walk with God, don't you? Okay, I want to see him glorified in the house. No more compromise, folks. We compromise. And then we try to justify ourselves. And all we do when we talk to each other is we're looking for a pulpit so that we could spew our message to the next person of what we know. And the thing is, the problem with that is I hear the same message over and over again. Our testimony needs to be expanded. I wasn't going to go there, but oh well, I did. So there's five pieces of evidence that the Spirit of God has control over your life, okay? The Spirit will make you passionate about worship and about prayer. And I could tell you right now, I could go to St. Bryce's church, and they're probably singing old hymns that I don't know. But I know the minister there, Peter. He loves the Lord with all his heart. And I can go into that place, and I don't even know the songs, and I can worship the Lord. Okay? It's not a matter of coming in here and hearing your favorite song or stuff like this. The Spirit will make you passionate about worship and prayer, and worship is a lot more than just music. I was not always passionate, my friends, about praying, you know. I was not always passionate about it. Oh, I knew I should, and I did. But passionately, not even close. Okay? Not like now. Because the Spirit of God, I have become passionate about prayer. It's about having a conversation. The next thing is, the Spirit will make us hungry for the Word of God. Do you know that the Word, I'm saying a few things that you all know. Okay, and you probably hear it every Sunday, and you probably heard it all your life. But did you know that the Bible is living and active?
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, I know that. Learned that in Sunday school. It's a supernatural book, and it really does speak to you. And falling in love with Scripture isn't about your passion or your hunger for reading or even just learning. You know how sick I am of people. Well, you know, I don't really like to read. Make it about you. It's about knowing God, folks. It's about, think about that. Well, you know what? I don't really like to read. Okay, so you just shut the door, so we'll never have this conversation again. I guess you never have to read again in the rest of your life. Come on. God, chapter 1, describes Jesus as the living word. The Spirit gives us a deeper love for another. Amen? The Spirit of God gives us a deeper love for one another. The Spirit of God makes us fearless and compassionate witness for Jesus. Fearless and compassionate witness for Jesus. Hallelujah. The Spirit makes us selfless and generous people who are eager to give. Generosity really comes out of our trust from God. Amen. I want us to do something to close. I want to have little groups of people today. Where you are, don't get uneasy and slip out, and it won't be long. Little pocket of people. Brother, I'm going to ask you, okay, your little pocket of people, I want you to speak a blessing into that group, okay? Dave. Because last time you missed it when you wanted to pray. Actually, come on up here a second. Come on up here a minute. Dale. I'm putting you on the spot, but you're my brother from a different mother. You remember you were going to pray in your native tongue?
Oh, yeah.
Do it for us, please.
I'm not quite good at that, but...
It's okay.
You will call Jesus. Papa, and we will have to pull a war. Fool or in Lala to Tisha for Lady Papa. Who saw we pay, or rest of we pay? Near we call Jesus. Near we call Jesus. Agbara. All I've said right now to people of God. The name of Jesus will be here and all darkness shall disappear. Yes. That this place will be full of light.
Yes.
The light
yes.
of God.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
So can you just form little groups where you are? Okay, over here, just over there, over here. Okay, over here, there, a couple of little groups. Right here, okay, and over here, a couple over there, okay. The title of my message this morning was Obedience That Honors God. So just pray into that